My name is Mike Tafano. I'm the senior high youth leader here at First Church. And when John actually approached me to talk with you guys today, my initial reaction was, are you sure you want somebody who works with teenagers all the time to get up in front? He didn't find it quite as funny as I did. But I'm really excited to have the opportunity to share with you guys today. Because we're actually, of course, working through this series, Believe. We've spent 10 weeks talking about our core beliefs. You guys can see them up there, talking about God, how he's a personal God to us, our salvation, the Bible, what that means, our identity in Christ, us as a church, humanity, compassion, stewardship, and eternity. We actually have, we spent 10 weeks talking about these core beliefs, and today we get an opportunity to kind of move forward a little bit and talk about what do we do? What should we do with those beliefs? And in today's discussion, we're going to talk a little bit about worship, right? And what that can mean for us. The key verse for today is actually, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and psalm and songs. It's awesome because when John actually talked to me about doing this, I said, well, okay, well, what's it on? What are we talking about? And he said, worship. I was like, oh, I had a flashback. It was instant. Flashback to fourth grade, right? Fourth grade children's choir, okay? A fourth grade children's choir, I really wanted to be involved with fourth grade children's choir, all right? You know, that's like one of those make or break moments in your life there, fourth grade children's choir. And I remember being up on stage and we were having our dress rehearsal, all right? So the choir leader was putting us all in our places. And she was deciding to have it like where we would sing in sections so she could make sure everybody's section was right. And came around to my section. And I decided I'm gonna belt it out. I'm gonna be like the guy. I'm gonna be the integral piece to this choir, you know what I mean? Without me, everybody else wasn't gonna matter. Right? So I started singing along with my little group. The choir leader walks up, takes the mic, and sort of swings it over away from my section. That was the first indicator that singing was not going to be my line of work. All right? Singing was not going to be my career choice. And thankfully, though, worship is not all about that. If it were, I would not be the one up here to be talking with you. You'd have to pick somebody like Ross, somebody else who's good at that. But let's have a few words to describe worship. Like, what is worship? You can look up there. It's the feeling of or expression of reverence. Maybe it's the adoration of a deity. One of the other things that worship is all about is to attribute worth to something or someone. When we worship God, we are saying, God, you alone are worthy. We're saying you're worthy. And when we do that, we're also declaring that nothing else is worthy. But I think something that we need to do is first talk about who is this God we worship. God's big. God is huge. I remember when I was in college, if you guys don't know me very well, one of my other passions is going hiking. I love it. That's one of my favorite things to do. It's been that way since high school for me. And in college, I went to college down in Tennessee, and I lived and was right near the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been there to the Smokies. Beautiful, beautiful area. And there is a mountain in the national park there called Mount LeConte. It's like the second highest peak in the park. And whenever I first started going to college, I was trying to hike a lot of the trails that were there. And I decided I'm going to take this Mount LeConte trail, this hike. And so I started hiking up. It was the first time I'd ever done it, but it was a beautiful day. And I remember getting to this part in the trail, and it got really narrow, really skinny, right? And it was like a sheer cliff on the one side, right? And this trail got really narrow. And anytime anything gets narrow, I get nervous, because me and narrow spaces just don't get along very well. All right, so I got kind of nervous. I'm like, oh man, I'm hoping I can make it through here, because I was only maybe about halfway done. And along the side was like a little cable you can hang on to. So I remember just concentrating on that cable, making sure I had a good handhold and making sure my feet were good. And I got to this point where it sort of turned a little bit, and I had a good hold on the cable, and I looked over to my left. To my left was like this beautiful expanse. Just mountains as far as I could see, blue skies. And I remember kind of being taken back a little bit because of how gorgeous it was and how big it was. I remember thinking, wow, God's creation is amazing. But I realized then that that was only a little part of even the planet that we live on. And this planet is only a small part in this big universe that we live in. God is so big. As a matter of fact, if we're not even believing that he is that big, he actually gives us his resume, right? I know you guys have ever made a resume. You know you got to put, like, the good stuff in there. God gives us his resume in the Bible. First, we've got creation. Then we see some events of how big God is. We see the flood. We see the parting of the Red Sea. Jericho falling down. Manna from heaven. And it goes on and on. Then we fast forward and we see the cross. We see resurrection. The defeat of death. So we see that this God that we worship is huge. And he's awesome. So what comes to mind? If I were to ask you guys the question, what comes to mind whenever you think about worship? I'll let you think about that for just a second. That didn't work. What do you think about when you think about worship? A lot of you, probably 90% of you, would say singing. Some of you would talk about, you would think about maybe a concert, maybe going to church. If you're Scott or Denny, worship would be wailing on the drums. Okay, so a lot of you think about these different things to worship. Let's take a look for a second at what Jesus has to say about worship. We're going to look in John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. It says, Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." All right, to give you a little context of where this scripture is coming from, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. They're having a conversation about worship. So what can we draw from this conversation? One of the biggest things that we can draw from this is that Jesus is saying worship is not about a place. Right? He's saying you worship the Father not on this mountain or in Jerusalem. He's saying it's not about a place, but it's about a spiritual relationship. It's about a longing to be with him. So if worship is about a spiritual relationship and not so much about a place, what does it look like for you? I had this talk with Tanya as we were getting ready for this. If I was getting ready for this, and I said, you know, one of the things I think I might struggle with is worship looks a little bit different for me. As I kind of said, I'm not that great of a singer. So for me, worship really looks like I have my most worshipful times when it's quiet, when I'm by myself, I'm kind of alone. Maybe I'm out taking a walk. Maybe I'm hiking. those are the times that seem to be the most worshipful for me. It may look different for you. It may be that singing music helps bring you to a place of worship. I don't know what worship looks like for you. Worship is a very spiritual thing. Our key idea this week is actually that I worship God for who he is and what he's done for me. Sorry about that, guys. I'm a little warm up here. I'm sorry. I'm sure everyone's noticed, so that's okay. I'll just go ahead and acknowledge it. So I'll just put it out there. Wow. All right. Just move on now. All right. So what do we need? When we talk about worship, what do we need to be in a place of worship? We need to acknowledge God for what he is, for who he is, and what he's done for us. Right? We can worship anywhere, at any time. Whenever we do that, we can worship at any time. Now, don't get me wrong. Am I saying that what happens here on Sunday is not important? No, not at all. For many of us, hearing this awesome music leads us right to a place of worship. The songs and the words that we sing enable us to say, God is awesome, God is worthy. And it is so important. But what we are saying also is that worship for us is a very spiritual and personal thing. So when we find worship, how does that affect our lives? How does that interact with our lives? I think one of the biggest things that we struggle with in our lives is wanting to be on the throne of our own lives. We want to be in charge. We want to be the ones that dictate where we go and what we do. We want to be the ones that chart our path. And we know best for ourselves. That's one of our biggest struggles. I can guarantee you that I struggle with this too. I thought about that. I actually thought about this time when I was in college. I played football in college. You probably would have never guessed that at all. But yeah, I did play football in college, and right before my junior year in college, I got injured. I hurt my knee. And after I'd had the surgery to fix it, the doctor tells me, he says, yeah, you could probably play football again, but I wouldn't recommend it. Like, if you get hurt again, it's not going to get fixed right. So I took the doctor's advice, and I said, I'm not going to play football anymore. Well, one of the effects that that had for me was I lost the scholarship I had. Well, I was going to a private school, so it wasn't very cheap, and I started having to look for other options. One of the options that I thought was I'm gonna switch colleges, I'm gonna go to a different college, and they cost less money. Well, immediately I started running into obstacles, started running into these these credits aren't going to transfer. Had a difficulty with some of the application process. In hindsight, the whole time God was trying to tell me, that's not the way I want you to go. It's not the path that I want you to go down. But me and my infinite wisdom as a 19-year-old guy, like, I kept charting the course. And that's the way I've got to go. And I'm in charge. I know exactly what's best for me. What ended up happening was, as has to happen to me a lot, it seems like, God didn't just gently sort of close the door or guide me away, all right? He slammed it right in my face, okay? I got denied. I didn't get accepted to the college I had applied for. A lot of the aid that I applied for had fallen through, and I ended up trying to figure out what I was going to do. But then God in his awesomeness kind of came back, and I found a scholar program that I could participate in. And the result of that was I had to do some community service. And because of the job and the work and school schedules and everything that I had, there was really only one option for me to do this community service. It was at a homeless shelter. And so I started working at the homeless shelter, thinking, all right, God, this is it. You know, I'm putting you in control. This is where you want me to be. Tell me how you want me to serve. And all of a sudden, this very cute lady walks in. Her name is Tanya. And she was working there also. And because of all this chain of events, I ended up meeting my wife, which was awesome. But had I tried to, like, plow my own course and keep going, and God hadn't intervened and said, I'm the one that needs to be in control of your life, I would have never had that opportunity. And so I'm so glad that God took control, because he is the one that's worthy to have control of our life. I wanted to be in control. I wanted to be on the throne of my life. But God didn't allow that for me. I realize that to truly worship, though, we have to crawl off of that throne. Maybe some of you guys are sitting on there right now thinking, I'm going down the path that I'm supposed to be on. I don't need any input from anybody. I'm in control. When we truly worship, we have to crawl down off of that throne and say, God, you have it. You have control. You are worthy. You are such a big God, such a powerful God, that you are worthy and worthy of that control. But here's the awesome part. Here's how worship can truly affect us. When we do that, when we surrender that control to God, and we say, God, you are worthy, and you are in control, one of the things that it does for us is it alleviates a lot of that burden that we have. All that stuff that we have to carry around, that we feel like we have to make the decisions for, that we feel like we've got to figure out. Whatever that is in your life, maybe it's popped into your mind. You're trying to think, how am I going to do this? When we give control over to God and worship him for who he is and what he's done for us and get off of our throne, that burden is lifted. Because God says, I've got it. I'm the one in control. So the result of freedom, the result of worship in our life is freedom. We have that opportunity. So what's awesome is when we worship, we daily acknowledge God for who he is and what he's done. And that's really awesome for us because we have the opportunity to acknowledge God's worth. Who he is for our life. When we do that, when we worship, it's going to spread into all the areas of our life. Right? It's not just going to be in this nice, neat little box here on Sunday morning. When we acknowledge God for who he is and what he's done, and we worship him, it spreads to everything else. We can have all kinds of moments of worship during the week. Kind of like what Claire talked about a little bit earlier. Maybe there's a time that's like really quiet before you go into a meeting and you're like, God, you have this. Maybe for some of you guys, you really like outside work, gardening. It's an opportunity to worship. You're saying, God, this is amazing what you've made. Maybe for some of you guys with little kids, it's that quiet moment before they get up and start the chaos of the day. You get this chance to worship and acknowledge God for who he is. Maybe some of you guys are out there and you're having a hard time. There's tragedy in your life, or maybe there's some loss in your life. There's some difficulties that have come your way, and you're really struggling with those. We realize that God's in control. God has these things. It's an opportunity to worship even when we're suffering, even when we're hurting. So worship doesn't have to be the songs we sing. But worship, the songs we sing and the awesome music that we have here on Sunday morning or maybe on the radio or whatever can bring us to that place. Can bring us to that place of acknowledging God for who he is and what he's done. But here's the great part. We do get an opportunity to come together here on Sundays. We do get a chance to come together here and worship together. Even though worship is a very personal and spiritual experience for us, we're acknowledging who God is, we do get an opportunity to come together and do that. One of my favorite times of worship is I work with the senior high youth, of course, and we get to go to conferences every summer. One of my very favorite things to do is whenever the music starts playing, and it's interesting to watch, actually. We're there for a week, and on the first day or two, people are pretty uncomfortable with what's happening. But by the end of the week, the kids are just ready to enter into worship. They're ready to acknowledge God for who He is. There's something that has spoken with them, spoken to them during the week. And by the end of the week, one of my favorite things is to look over and see these senior high youth just acknowledging God. They're singing, they're enjoying the music, but you can tell they're truly acknowledging God for who He is. And that's what worship is about. We're doing that together here. We have the opportunity to do that together here on Sunday mornings. Sunday morning here could be a celebration of all of those times of worship that we've had through the week. And that's what I hope it is. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you and challenge you. Look for those times of worship that you can have. Look for those opportunities during the week to say, God, you're amazing. God, you are awesome. You are worthy of control in my life. You are worthy of all of it. And when we seek those times, when we look for that, it's going to have an awesome impact on our life. We're going to experience freedom. And we're going to know that God is truly in control of us. I have a little video for you guys to end up with. It talks a lot about this. It talks about worship in relation to music. It talks about worship in relation to us and truly what worship is about in our lives.
Love, and God is just.